Eh bien, frère Richard, c'est une voix d'ancien temps, une voix d'un autre pays, une autre vie peut-être. Souvenez-vous, connaissez-vous cette voix? Nous étions un peu unique, toi et moi, au moins dans la mission française et peut-être dans toutes les missions du monde à ce moment-là. Nous étions des compagnons, une seule missionnaire et une elder. Catastrophe! Mais non. C'était seulement la rédactrice et le rédacteur de l'étoile et tout ça à la mission française. La mission française, il y a maintenant combien d'années? Presque 30 années? Ah oui, 30 années même. Ah oui, c'était aussi une partie de ta vie, Richard. Voici ta vie. Et un petit morceau de ta vie dans la mission française il y a tant d'années. Well, Richard, Frère Anderson, after all these years, I receive a letter from your three lovely daughters, I'm assuming they're lovely, how could they be otherwise, asking if I would take a little part in the production they're planning for you. I don't know when this is going to get off the ground. They originally had it in mind for Father's Day, I'm sure. Maybe they'll put it together for Grandfather's Day, I don't know. Or maybe for Christmas or something of that sort. That would be lovely. Well, they even sent me a Polaroid of you. And you haven't changed all that much, I'm glad to see. Still the same boyish, devil-may-care look on your face. And that's good news. That's good news. And what has gone on with you in all these years, I don't know. I have had a few details, of course, as friends of friends have crossed paths. And of course, I've had a chance recently to see your brother and to have your nephew in my very class. In honors here at BYU. Nathan was one of our stellar pupils and we had a great time in our English 200 class. And that made me feel just a tad old, but also very sentimental. I happened to have in that class two or three children of I had one son of a former student and a couple of children of friends, so that made it very, very nice. Well, Richard, do you remember the old memories and the old days? Of course, how could we not? We've had, in recent years, a number of birthday parties for President Hinckley. Bless his heart, still with us. I can't even remember what birthday this is coming up ahead. His birthday's on Halloween, you'll remember. And we had a 90th birthday party for him, and we had, I believe, a 91st at the restaurant of Bob Gledhill. I think, do you remember Elder Gledhill? Well, he owns a string of Italian place restaurants, and we had the last big hoo-ha that we had in his restaurant, and the president was in wonderful form. He was very excited. His daughter had told us he was so excited, and he ordered a great big steak and was unable to touch a bit of it. He was so excited, and he was very sharp. He got up to give a few remarks and looked around and said, "Well, as I look around at you people, I see that I have more hair than some of the young men here who are no longer young men." Anyway, he was delightful. Sister Hinckley passed on a few years ago, and that was probably a blessing. She was pretty far gone with Alzheimer's at the time. And then sadly, after we had the last get-together, President Hinckley's daughter passed away, and he was living with a daughter here in Provo. So he's now up near Logan, and there was a party or a get-together of some sort last year, but I don't know that any of us from the Valley were able to go up, but he's doing well. Let me just reminisce quickly on some of the old missionary buddies. I don't know which ones overlapped your time actually in the mission home. You certainly would remember Elder Nelson, because I think he had a monopoly on the finances of the mission. He was the treasurer. Thank goodness he was an honest man, because he was there 22 months or something. He could have made away with the whole mission home. He has been a teacher of theater and drama and a director of plays at Marietta College in Ohio for a long, long time. I guess more than 15 years now, maybe close to 20 years. And he is winding that aspect of his life up this summer. He's been doing showboat plays, dramas on the river there every summer, but he's doing his last one, and will be moving to San Francisco by September. I don't know if you remember even Sir Duddleston, Sister Duddleston, who was a friend of mine, and we knew her as Crash Duddleston. I don't know if you remember, she broke both of her knees on the mission and recuperated in good time and went back out into the field. She and I lived together for 9 years after we returned from our missions. Then she married the boy next door, and they wanted to build a house, and it was just that time. It was in the early 70s when inflation came on so strong and prices went way up, and they came to me one day and said, we can't afford to buy a house. How would you like to buy a house with us? And Ann and I had lived together so long, we knew we could do that, so we bought a house, and I lived downstairs, and they lived upstairs, and then they had a couple of kids, and we started looking for a bigger house. Prices were really up at that time. So they bought a house not far from where the first house was, and I stayed in the second house. I'm still in the house that we bought almost 20 years ago. And I got another roommate, and so I've lived in this house through three stakes and about five wards. I've helped build five ward houses, chapels, and haven't moved an inch. The next chapel's going to have to be in the front yard, because the one now is just a good baseball throw away. Let's see, so that was Sister Duddleston. Sister Bertelson, do you remember? Well, Sister Bertelson has done wonderfully well. She was in Washington, D.C. for a long time as an assistant to Mark Cannon. And then her mother became ill, so Delora came home and became an administrative assistant in the School of Management here at BYU, got her MPA, her Master of Public Administration, and also was elected, if you can believe it, mayor of Springville. And I say, can you believe it? Not because it's a surprise that it was Delora, but Springville is so conservative, and they had never had a woman on the council at all. There were three slots open on this council seat, and Delora was really a dark horse, came out of nowhere, but the people encouraged her to run. She not only earned one of the seats, but got more votes than anyone else, and she's been doing very well in that position. So that's Sister Duddleston. Elder Nadald, I'm sure, was a contemporary of yours, Stephen Nadald, and maybe you know that he was, for about 5 years, president of Weber State College, now Weber State University, and went into business, and then was very quickly called to be one of the 70. So he's moving along. Who else would you remember? I don't know if you knew Deanna Holtry. Deanna was a sister missionary of our day. She married a man who works in my college as an administrative assistant, but she passed away a few years ago. I don't want to give an obituary report, although we've had a bit of that, unfortunately. Others of the our time there are around BYU. Bill Evanson in physics and has been in the administration. He and I worked together a bit, and I certainly enjoy Bill a great deal. Ross Berry Parker is in the financial end of things, I haven't seen him at all, to my knowledge, but I know he's over there, and I didn't know him well when he was on the mission. Ron Malin is in continuing education in some way, and he and I see each other from time to time, not too often. It's a big campus. It's strange, but we haven't seen each other all that much, but he certainly is around. Who else? Again, I don't want to give an obituary report. Sister Lefebvre, who is one of the delightful sister missionaries, kind of a madcap. I don't know if you remember Sister Lefebvre, but she worked in Paris quite a bit. Anyway, she passed away about a year ago, but we did have a chance to see her a number of times before that and enjoyed her. A number of folks up in Salt Lake. Graham Dodd there. I was signing books in Des Book several months ago, and Elder Cox, Kenneth Cox of all things, I hadn't seen him, of course, since the days of the mission. He came up pushing a stroller with a grandchild in it, and he was as handsome as ever, but very gray. And when one is a single woman without kids, you know, the kids I see are always the college kids. They're always about the same age, and so I think I'm always the same age as I have ever been. And then when people come along talking about their grandchildren, I suddenly realize that I'm really not 25 or 30 anymore. But it was good to see Elder Cox, and I see Les Moody. Now, I don't know if Les went home before you did. I think he probably did. Bob Welton is in California, and I see him from time to time. Sister Stevens, Karen Stevens, and I can never remember what her married name is. Conference, a journalism conference a few months ago. I'm trying to remember who you might have known or who would have been contemporary with you. Well, we don't need to play Where Are They Now necessarily, but those were wonderful days in the mission. I have been back to France a couple of times, and of course I think you probably know that the mission home has been bought by the Arabs. I don't know for what purpose. The last time I was there, it was all locked up and inaccessible, which is a bit sad. But I was just in Paris a short period of time. I'd like to go back, I think, one day for a little bit longer, but I don't know if that's going to happen. Well, I think what your daughters had in mind is that I would reminisce and play back some of the old memories of our time together in the mission home. Those are starting to fade a little bit, but I do have some, of course, some very vivid and wonderful memories of our time together and the work we did on the Etoile and the mission diary and so forth. And I was just thinking the other day, another memory I had, in fact, I think I wrote about this in my journal, one Sunday evening, hearing in the mission home someplace a sound that I hadn't heard for a couple of years, and following the sound to its source. And there you were with, I think, two or three French members playing the recorder. I had been in a little recorder group before coming on my mission. I had never played very well. And I think you were playing the alto recorder with a couple of, was it Marie-Claude, somebody or other? I can't remember. Some of the French members. But those were fine days with President Hinckley and the missionaries and that beautiful mission home. And, of course, beautiful Paris. Driving home from Salt Lake yesterday, I had the... You think KBYU station on, and they began to play Faust, and of course that was the mission opera. That was the opera that many of us went to see as often as it was done in the Periopta, and then Elder Hill, Farron Hill, had a tape of it to remember that he would play downstairs while he ran the printing press. Sometimes he'd have that tape on all day long, and Faust is the only opera that I know well enough so that I think if I hear three bars of it, I can identify it. That was a beautiful place. And of course, I've thought often about our Christmases. I don't remember if you were at the Mission Home at Christmas time, but I was on two different occasions, and on one of those occasions, Dennis Garf decorated the Christmas tree. And again, this keeps sounding like an obituary report, Richard, but I'm sure you know about Dennis, that we lost Dennis, and I've had the opportunity to see his wife a couple of times, just recently, just a few months ago, when I was back in Washington, D.C., in that area, in McLean, no, Arlington, where his wife, his widow lives, and his son. But anyway, Dennis made the place beautiful, as no one else could, with his flamboyant style. I don't know either if, I don't know, Richard, if you got in on the rash of practical jokes or if you were spared that. I mean, it kind of peaked and crested and then subsided because I don't know that it had gotten out of hand, but it got pretty wild. But there were some wonderful occasions with practical jokes. The one I remember best, of course, is with Sister Bertelson, who had been with, I think this was, you were still out in the field, but I'll tell you this one anyway. Maybe it'll bring back some memories in your mind. Sister Bertelson had been to Le Mans with, I think, President and Sister Brosser, if I'm not mistaken. And as the car came back and we realized they were coming back, we also realized that it was April Fool's Day and we hadn't anything planned for Sister Bertelson, so the whole mission staff raced down to one of those side rooms and began trying to think of something we could do that would really be a wonderful practical joke. And I hate to admit it, but I had the worst idea of all. I thought, well, I could go out for a walk with her, and the elders could kidnap or pretend to kidnap us and throw a blanket over her head and so forth. The elders were aghast at my idea. They said, Sister Bell, she could have a heart attack. Well, what we ended up doing was almost as good. Elder Eames said to her, there's a package that came for you while you were gone, but it was leaking a little bit, so I put it in your bathroom. Well, the bathroom was inside the bedroom on that second floor, you'll remember. So she went into the bedroom. The bedroom was dark. She went into the bathroom, which was also dark, turned on the fluorescent light, which came up very slowly, and the package that was there, of course, was Mike Jarvis. Remember Big Mike? He was about 6'3", and at that time about 285 pounds. He was covered with ketchup, lying in the bathtub, and rose up. And she shrieked and turned down the shower and went screaming from the room or something. But that was one of her. Well, this went on and on and on. On another occasion, Kent Nelson, again, as I say, the treasurer, he had told the missionaries so often that if he got one more report of a smashed Lambretta, he'd collapse with a heart attack. Well, somebody came in, went over to his desk and gave him yet another report of a crashed Lambretta, and Kent just toppled out of his seat and fell on the floor, kind of mock heart attack. But instead of laughing at him, whoever had come in, this person was not misled. He just decided to be mischievous, and so he went into President Hinckley's office and said that Elder Nelson had fainted on the floor, and the president came rushing out, and Kent was still on the floor with his eyes closed, and dear, kind-hearted President Hinckley raced over to Kent and bent over him so solicitously, and Kent opened his eyes and said, "Hi there, President," And then the climax of that, of course, came. We had done I don't know how many different kinds of practical jokes, and then one night, the middle of the night, there was a knock on the door downstairs. And of course, the sister missionaries' room was on the second floor and the elders on the third. So there was this knock, 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 ring, ring, ring at the door. Middle of the night, 3:00 in the morning. And so I got up and went down to the door. And there were two gendarmes, two policemen. And they wanted Marcel Kahn, you remember our translator. And nobody can look more official than the French gendarmes. So I went back upstairs, and we were forbidden. Sisters were forbidden to go up on the third floor, especially at night when the elders were sleeping up there in heaven knows what kind of array. So I stood in the stairwell and yelled for Elder Kahn, who was grumpy in the best of times, and I think he only had two best of times in his whole mission. He was really a grouch, and I finally woke him up, and he shouted down, you know, what did I want? And I said, there are two policemen down here for you, and he swore in French and Belgian and whatever, and Yiddish probably, and said, go back to bed, I'm not pulling for any more practical jokes. And I said, no, Elder, you must come down, blah, 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 blah. And it took him forever. And then finally he came down in this mousy bathrobe, and Kent Nelson, of course, came down all a twitter in a yellow bathrobe. He was in for any excitement that was going in. As it turned out, there was a friend of Marcel's who had had an accident, had an epileptic seizure, I think, and the policemen were. He'd given Marcel's name as a friend. But I think that was the last practical joke we pulled in a mission home. I'm sure there were a raft of them that were pulled elsewhere, and you probably got in on more than your share. This is a particularly auspicious time for me to make this tape, or at least it's a natural time, because I just about 2 hours ago put in the mail a short story that I had kind of been asked to write. They didn't ask for a particular kind of story, except that I don't know if you know about this, but you can be looking for it. I don't know that mine's going to be in it, but the church has a group, I didn't even know this, but the church has an arm, or whatever you want to call it, called Humanitarian International, which is an organization that provides relief worldwide for floods, earthquakes, volcanoes, this kind of thing. And in an attempt to raise money for this Humanitarian International, a subsidiary of Des Book, called Aspen Books, is putting together a Christmas anthology, an anthology of short stories by Mormon writers. And they have asked everybody and anybody, I guess, that they know about who's ever been in print, to put together, to submit a story, and see how that would go. And I have never, of course, I haven't written anything on Christmas. That's not particular. Excuse me there. I think that just ruined your eardrums. I didn't have a short story, so I started thinking around and seeing what I could possibly do, and ended up with something set in the mission about 30 years ago in that dreadfully cold winter that we had. Remember the winter of, I think it was 62. Could have been 63, but it was one of those two. I think it was 62, and it was the one that was so bad all over. It was the one that Sylvia Plath died in across the channel. I seem to be making funny sounds. I guess I better check this and see if the audio quality is good. This is not my forte, Richard. I'll tell you, this electronic wizardry. Well, it seems audible. I hope it's understandable, too. I was just saying that I'm not very good with electronic wizardry, and I'm not quite as bad as a colleague of mine in the department who was terrified by electric typewriters for years. She would not use an electric typewriter. Every time she turned it on, it would hum and make noise, you know, and kind of chastise her for not starting to write, and would be impatient, and she just didn't like it. She just used a regular typewriter. And finally, after many years, mustered up the courage to order a Selectric, IBM Selectric, and have it installed. I was so proud of herself, just when everybody else, of course, was going right into word processors. And I don't know if she ever made the transition to word processors. I know that my word processor sat in my office for weeks, right, three huge boxes right in the middle of my office that I would step around, making the sign of the cross to protect myself, you know, like Faust. But like everybody else, of course, once I got in tune with it, it's a lot like falling in love. You know, using your computer for the first time, you want to talk to everybody about how wonderful it is, and you find reasons to sneak away and be with the computer. And you say, are you just going to go downstairs and work on a computer for half an hour, and 3 hours later you emerge having been in an alpha state most of the time. Anyway, I'm sure you know all about that. I'm not very computer literate. I wish I were much more so. But it's a far cry from the days when we put out the mission Conversion Chronicle and the... What was the name of the monthly? Diary, of course. How could I forget? With Multilith and whatever else it was. The strange things we used to produce. And then hand-assembled the publications, running around that big dining room table, making conversation and collating and stapling everything together. That was a totally different era altogether, wasn't it? But it was a good one. And rich days, wonderful days, of course. And certainly made better by your good spirits and quick mind and sense of humor and dedication. You added a very special quality to the mission home when you came in, Richard. They hadn't really seen anything like you before. And of course, we had a rather unusual conglomeration of people in the mission home anyway, but you brought a lot of fun, a lot of insight and wisdom, and a special personality to it. And I was delighted to hear from your daughters. I hope somebody will share with me how your special event came off. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to make this little tape and convey to you my good wishes and my thanks for being a very special part of my mission. I don't know that you need any biographical details from me particularly. I mean, I've been here at BYU since Provo River started running, with the exception of my mission and then a few other sojourns. I went to the University of Massachusetts in Amherst for a year, taught there, and pursued some graduate studies in creative writing. I had a fun 6 or 7 weeks a couple of years ago and went with the study abroad, not as director, just kind of as stowaway, to Italy. We went to London and then to Paris for about 5 days, and then to Italy, to Florence for 6 weeks to study Renaissance painting and literature and so forth. That was absolutely wonderful, of course. I went to Cambridge University in England for just 2 weeks a couple of years ago to study. I studied Reformation history, and I'd love to go again for 4 weeks and study some literature. So I've gotten away from time to time, and one of the things I'm thinking about now, not in the next year or so, but maybe a couple of years hence, is going to Eastern Europe, possibly to teach English as a second language, which I have done in the past, although I'm not really technically trained to do that. But I think they'll be hard enough up, so they might. Want me to come over there for a while. There'd been an ample opportunity to go to China. We have some exchange programs. BYU has some exchange programs with China, but somehow that's, the more I hear about from people who've been over there, the less attractive that seems to me. It's just a matter of personal judgment, but I would love to go to Hungary or Eastern Europe or something. I was lucky enough to have a book published this last year, just a collection of my lighthearted, not to say light-minded, essays, and that's doing quite well. It's in its third edition, and I guess we'll have another one coming out, and maybe a book of poetry, which is, well, I shouldn't even say maybe. I just need to finish writing the poems, but I'm very excited about that, because I guess poetry is one of my very great loves, and I think you and I had some long discussions about poetry, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if you have written more poetry or written poetry, or simply an aficionado, but anyway, I'm looking forward to doing that. I'm doing some administration work now. I'm one of the associate deans of general and honors education, as well as teaching, still in the English department, and having a great time with it all, doing a lot of traveling, and keeping very busy. I think the tape is about to run out, so I will say bonjour et à la prochaine. Et félicitations d'avoir trois filles tellement magnifiques. Et que Dieu te bénisse, toi et ton famille, et avec les meilleurs souhaits de ton ancien compagnon, Eloise Bell. Love and best wishes, Richard.